Let's save any final questions for the break, and then we'll have a poster session downstairs from 4 to 6 also. Okay, as the finale to bring us back home here to where the meetings are, orogeny and pedogenesis of southeastern Pennsylvania viticultural terroir. And James Fisher will do our final talk of this session. James.
Thank you, Tom. Good afternoon. Okay, so here to talk about orogeny, which is that stuff that happens before soil. So here's our the secondary objective of this process was to provide a background for our vineyard tour, which was subsequently canceled. But nonetheless, it was an exploration into my own soils, which was very edifying for myself. And okay, so here is Pittsburgh, right about here. Great Lakes, Finger Lakes are here. Got the North Fork of Long Island, nice Merlot region. And we have Virginia, Maryland, big viticultural areas. And here is the southeastern Pennsylvania viticultural region. There's a couple AVAs there, one of which is Lancaster Valley. And we're still in the process of getting a AVA certified. So here's a map of illustrating the bedrock of the area. Okay, to get orogeny, get an idea of how Pennsylvania is affected by the orogeny, we have Ordovician era orogeny, which was the carbonate deposition, and that was followed by the Silurian era, which was the emergence of land plants, very important for Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania was tropical at this time. We had a period of some dry climate for, I'm not a geologist, I don't know the exact number of years, but it's evident in the red clastic rocks in the Devonian period, which we can see prevalent in the Ridge and Valley Province, which is extends generally like this. After this, we had the Mississippian. We had a long period of more rain. Remember, all this time, Pennsylvania's on the equator. So this during this rainy period, we had this Mississippian gray shales were evident. And we see this in areas of the Ridge and Valley Province as well. Okay, after that was Pennsylvania's time in the sun. We had coal formation in the swamps, and that's what we're very famous for. So it was a bit of a dry period, because Pennsylvania was very far from the oceans at this point in Pangaea, and we had a Permian collision of Africa formed a giant mountain range east of the coast here, and the erosion of which formed the Piedmont, which is the most widest region of the Piedmont is in Pennsylvania. Okay, so then we had the thrust faulting associated with Permian, and a lot of the thrust faulting occurred, and in the Ridge and Valley Province, you'll see the previously horizontal sedimentary layers been shifted in oblique angles and sometimes vertical, and this is prevalent in the road cuts. So after this Mesozoic period was the seafloor spreading, and Atlantic Ocean still growing at 2 inches per year, and parallel to the mid-Atlantic rift, see these rift basins formed, and one of which is prevalent in the Piedmont. It's known as the Gettysburg-Newark Rift Basin. So now let's get on to pedogenesis. Okay, so here's our here's the wine region I'm speaking of. In the previous slide earlier, you may have noticed that our weather is more influenced by maritime as opposed to the western Pennsylvania, which is much more continental. So this is a reason why we're able to grow vinifera extensively. It's got this maritime influence. We've got the Delaware Bay and the Chesapeake Bay, which influenced two of our regions. So I took six vineyards that I work with, and I'm going to take a look at each of them. Up here is a lot of shale and silt and sandstone. Down here we have diabase intrusions from New England, the Redding prong, and this is a poignant point right here because these soils are quite different than most of our other soils. We have a really very high clay content in most of our soils, but in this particular area, these diabase and granitic gneiss and some granodiorite, it's a rather coarse texture, and the coarseness increases with depth. So it seems to be actually a perfect solum for viticulture because the surface soils are high in clay, and as you go deeper and deeper, it's more and more sand. So that's much different than what we have over here. This is limestone bedrock, very fine textured. And then down here we have micaceous schist and shale. Okay, so the point I was making about the texture, these are textures running. I took about 120 samples and did some averaging from north to south. This is north, and this is the north, and heading south here in that region I just showed you. And these two textures are represented by this blue one, high clay, that would be the limestone bedrock. And this one with the low clay content, well, that is a diabase bedrock. Beautiful beautiful soils for viticulture. However, what's the climate like? We alluding to my earlier presentation, it's very important to determine the type of scion. And what we have is a bit of a fuzzy line here in which this region down here is best for red wine production, whereas this region up here is really good for white wine production. Not to say that can't commingle the two. There's microclimate is a big part of each. So the only problem we have is this is Philadelphia, and we have urban sprawl that's just growing, and a lot of these good soils are being occupied by houses. So now it's a really good time because viticulture can compete with real estate, and we can actually use agriculture to keep soil under production. So it's really good news. So down here we have a high number of growing degree days where we can really have the time to mature the Cabernet Sauvignon, which has a off flavor. It's a grassy pepper flavor represented by methoxypyrazines. And if we don't have sufficient heating throughout the season, that they build up in the fruit and you get a grassy tasting wine, it's really not pleasant. So those isobutyl methoxypyrazines can be pushed out if you have a long enough, not enough long enough season, but enough heating, growing degree days. Okay, this is another picture of Pennsylvania. We see here's a Ridge and Valley province, particularly the Great Valley province. So we're growing a lot of Pinot Noir up here, and it's actually pretty decent. And Pinot is different than the other reds because it lacks anthocyanins, so you can grow it in a region that has lesser growing degree days. And down here in the Piedmont is really nice, a nice soil, low horizon development, so it's maybe not the best. As far as the Piedmont goes, I think the best soils would be the upper Piedmont, whereas the lowland soils have a elevation below 300 feet, which is about 100 meters, and that's be more of a problem for pathogenicity. Okay, this is now I'm going to take you from south to north. This was that micaceous schist. And you see this good oxic red soils. This is a really nice soil. It's got a high rock content. The greater number of rocks, the less moisture it'll hold. And we suffer from vigorous soils. If it's like a sponge, if we have too much water in the soil, it's the vine's going to grow like mad. We're already pruning about. It's a process known as hedging. We're doing it about four times per season. So if we can avoid one hedging protocol, we're that far ahead. So this here shows the surface morphometry of the site. this is almost like a bowling ball. It's a beautiful site, nice and round, got good air drainage, good horizon development. See here some cracking. When I first saw this, thought maybe this is a smectitic, but I don't know for sure. I haven't done any x-ray diffraction. I'm still trying to find a way to fund that. I'm funded by my work I do for the vineyards, and I'm a production-based consultant. So if I give them data that doesn't mean anything, I don't get paid. So here's another site. This is a site that is very high vigor. This vineyard was planted this spring, and look, full canopy. And he hedged this twice. So very high vigor site. Here's the available water content. 193 millimeters. I did the podology here and recommended using Riparia guar. The guy followed through and planted that rootstock, and still we have, this is an amazing year. We had a lot of rain this year, so this is good for vegetative growth. But we still recommend, we might have to do some tiling here. And I did electromagnetic induction to see variability in the soils to pinpoint the location of pedons. And we see here, this is along the ridge line. This is a high level of, I think it was a BM horizon, cementation. And that was at 18 to 28 inches was the BT horizon. But below that was high cementation. So it was high penetration resistance in that particular pedon. Whereas the next one, this was a lot different. It was a BT horizon all the way down the C horizon. And you know, look at the color. It's a nice oxic soil, well-drained. Okay, this is the limestone soil. These two profiles were only about 700 feet apart from each other. Well, you see, here was profile. This is profile two. I'm sorry, profile one and profile two. Okay, so profile one has unweathered limestone at 25 inches, and this is the profile two has a highly weathered. And what happened was, I believe, a greater amount of saturated hydraulic conductivity by a factor of 0.001. So this I believe that the hydraulic conductivity was greater here, caused greater weathering than ever here. Okay, moving on. This is because of the limestone high calcium content, really nice looking soil, high secondary permeability. That deep drainage is going to be good for the grapes. I alluded to my lack of XRD data. I figured it out though in the process of putting this presentation together. I figure if I could put some piezometers in for the grower, I can give them some key data on water flux, soil water flux. Bless you. And if I correlate the XRD and by putting in the piezometers, I'll collect the data of the soil saprolite and bedrock, do XRD and ICP, and then I can do my strain calculation, which is here. Check out the isovolumetric weathering, see what that actually would be, and by determining the mineral composition, and then checking out tau, which would be the mobility. This would be total mass lost, and this would be fractional mass lost here. So I think I could use this. This could also give me some information that similar to what the folks in Lodi were looking at, is availability of various nutrients from the bedrock. So now I have a means of doing it by installing a piezometer. Still need to find a way to fund it with the growers. And I think this would work best by doing a nest of piezometers in correlation with MET stations. And we really don't do much. We get a lot of rain. That's about all we measure. It's a lot. So, okay, this is just a reiteration of the map. So at this point, we looked at these three vineyards here. Now we're going to look at this one and up north here. So this is the one with the diabase intrusion, bedrock here, granite diorite, diabase, and gabbro. See the texture goes from clay loam on the surface soils down to a loam and sandy loam, ideal for drainage. And this is the EMI data. Came across this phenomenon here, which resulted, this is a profile 1, 2, and 3. And 1 is depicted here, whereas 3 has a paralithic bedrock at 18 inches. So you see, I'm using this as a ground truthing method to locate where I put my pedons. Okay, and this was the one further north, and here's a, I don't know if you can see this this topo very well, but it's nice convex landform. Got some depressions here and here. The problem with this site is these soils aren't on the southern aspect. You'd think it would be, this is where we want to plant. Unfortunately, these soils are not so conducive for the viticulture. They, I was working with them to help figure out where to put their drip effluent, and they're going to run their septic here. So we're looking at an area between these green dots, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's an area of 5 acres for his initial investigation. This is a 65-acre field. So this is the data, the EMI data for this, which is actually the subject of my poster. So I hope you all come to see the poster session, and I look at this in depth. But so then we this is also covered on my poster. So moving on, this is the a region that similar to the Rhone almost. We go from our southern soils. So it's reminiscent of Bordeaux, and we end up here in the Rhone, where we have they're already getting snowfall, but they're growing a lot of white wines up there, Riesling, Grüner Veltliner, and such, and they're doing a really good job. And this is a soil there, and that concludes my journey. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, sir.
You had two paired soils, one with much deeper weathering in the Dolomite than the other. So I've seen that before, in a very short distance due to water, slight water gathering, water spreading. Could that have been the case with that?
That was what I thought. Because we had some data for the saturated hydraulic conductivity, and as much the water flux is much greater in the weathered bedrock as opposed to the other one. That was my initial assessment. Of course, I don't have the XRD data on the rock itself, but I'd like to.
Surface landform in terms of water gathering, slight concave, as opposed to a convex, slight nose slope where it'd be water spreading.
Right. It's actually, I would say it's linear convex. It's rather as low relief on this site. On that particular vineyard. It's pretty low relief. So it needs more investigation. And yes. Right. The question is there a correlation between the soils and the usage of varieties in these two regions? And it's basically, we're like a shotgun of soils. It varies immensely, but this area right here represents the Piedmont is in this area. You got the Ridge and Valley up here. And you got anthracite region up further here, so is mainly driven, the difference in varietals is mainly driven by climate. And that's why we do have pockets here and there where the microclimate is essentially would be different than a nearby vineyard, so we can perhaps grow a red wine there.
Okay, thank you.
Drainage or water stress effect in the soils in those two spots that you can think of?
Oh, I'm sorry?
The water stress or drainage issues that are characterized by the soils in those two areas?
Well, you're talking about these two broad ranges here?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's all site-specific. You never know until we get there, and then it's a matter of soil mapping on a small range, but it's a huge variation in all of that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you again to all the participants, and particularly to John Galbraith. John helped facilitate this last year, and thanks to you. Thanks, everyone. There'll be a poster session downstairs that will accompany this, so I encourage you all to go down there and meet with the poster presenters. Thank you.